Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody, another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. I'm so glad that you're with us. If you're on the highway on 95 or 106 point, 95 or the Turnpike in Palm Beach County, I know you're listening on 95.9. If you're up in the Treasure Coast, you're on 106.9. In either event, we please would like you to be careful and stay tuned because we have a really, really important show for you tonight. I would start by saying scams to the left of us, scams to the right of us, everywhere a scam. The truth is they're real. They work. You are at risk, and if you're not, somebody in your family may be, and it happens to the best of us. My guest tonight knows more about the problem of elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation than most. Kate Kramer is here. Kate is the project director of the Elder Rights Center of the Area Agency on Aging. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her background in just a second. But first, if you'd like to see me speak, and I don't know why you would, but if you would, there are some people who do. I'm going to be at Your Life in Jupiter on Thursday night. I'm going to be there from 5 to 7. I'm going to be talking about the things I talk about on this radio show. I encourage you to come. If you've never been there, if you're thinking about moving into a community, Your Life is as nice as it gets. And it's in the Alton community. There's lots of places around there to eat after we're done, although I think they may be serving some refreshments while I'm there. So I encourage you to come Thursday night. I have taken to giving you a list of some support groups for those struggling with some chronic disease, and I want to tell you that tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute in West Palm Beach, that's PBNI, Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, if you are struggling with Parkinson's disease or have a family member who is, there is a support group there. I encourage you to go. And if you're a loved one of someone struggling with Alzheimer's disease, let me give you two different opportunities for support groups that you may be interested. Wednesday at 4 o'clock, Artists Senior Living in Boca Raton. Outsiders are welcome. Non-residents are welcome. 4 o'clock Wednesday in Boca Raton at Artists Senior Living. And Tuesday at noon, Barrington Terrace in Boynton Beach. That's tomorrow at noon. And I encourage you, if you are struggling with someone with a family member who has Alzheimer's disease and you're kind of at your wit's end and could use somebody to talk to, come to those support groups. But now to my guest, because that's why you tuned in, Kate Kramer. Kate is the project director of the Elder Rights Center of the Area Agency on Aging in Palm Beach and on the Treasure Coast. She works with older adults who have experienced financial exploitation, fraud, scams, identity theft, and other crimes to help them recover and to develop safeguards to prevent further victimization. After a financial crime has occurred, Kate helps older adults and caregivers take critical recovery steps such as alerting financial institutions, checking your credit reports, and filing complaints or reports with the appropriate agencies. She also provides many, many community presentations, like the one she's going to do tonight for us, on fraud, scams, and identity theft, elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation for community groups and for professionals. She recently completed a year-long project for the Office of Older Americans at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, where she developed all content for a comprehensive online toolkit to help communities nationwide create and expand elder fraud prevention and response networks. Before that, she worked as a legal services attorney with a focus on family law, guardianship law, and bankruptcy law. Ms. Kramer holds a JD from Boston University School of Law and a BA in English Literature and Journalism from the University of Tulsa. Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Great. Excited to be here. Thank you so
much. We're excited to have you. We really are. So, I don't think people know anything at all about what you do at the Area Agency on Aging does. They don't even know that this service exists. So at the kind of 30,000-foot level, what do you do?
That's a great question, Scott. So the Area Agency on Aging has quite a few different programs, actually, and the Elder Rights Center is one of them. We focus on serving victims of crime. So we work with older adults and adults with disabilities who have been through some type of crime. Like you said, it could be fraud, identity theft, exploitation. It could be a property crime, like having a bicycle stolen or having a wallet taken out of your pocket at the supermarket. So we work one-on-one with those folks to try to figure out what the next step should be for them, how they can recover, how they can build a more safe and stable financial future for themselves, and helping them make those reports as needed. We also do, of course, the community outreach and presentations that you mentioned.
Right. So I guess you're not the police, and you're not the state district attorney. If you're from the north, it's called district attorney. If you're from south, it's state attorney. You're not with that office, but you're pretty busy. Pretty much everything that goes through them ends up on your desk. Am I overstating that, or is that accurate?
Maybe not everything, but we do. We serve about 5,500 people a year, and so we're working with all types of people in our community and our service area. So we do partner with the police departments and the sheriff's offices in our service area to receive police reports for people who are over 60 who have been the victim of a crime. Once we get those reports, we review them. We try to figure out what the situation is, what we might be able to help with. Then we have a wonderful team of volunteers, about a dozen of them, who actually are the ones who make most of those initial phone calls. And so they're the ones who are trying to provide information, provide referrals if someone may need to go to a different agency for help. And they're working one-on-one with those people in the first place. Then if someone's been through something like a fraud or an exploitation or identity theft that requires some more unraveling, right, a lot of the times that's where our staff, myself and my other three team members, will step in and take a lot more steps, working on a more intensive basis one-on-one with that person to help them figure out where to go from here.
And I want people to understand, kind of A follows or B follows A, C follows B kind of thing. If you've been a victim of elder fraud, and we're going to talk about scams and we're going to talk about what exactly to do, but how does it get to you? Does it come to you from the police, or do the victims call you directly?
Both. So we work with the police departments to get those police reports in, and then we also receive a lot of referrals from our community partners, such as the Attorney General's office. We work with the Palm Beach County Department of Consumer Affairs. We work with all of these wonderful community partners who are seeing people go through crimes and similar situations, and they refer people to us if they think the person may need some extra help taking those next steps, or if they just think we may be able to provide more services than what they in their capacity can handle. So we also get calls directly from people who maybe hear the radio show, right, or go to our website. And we get referrals often from friends or family members who are concerned about someone.
I know we didn't talk about this earlier, and I don't know why it just popped in. Came to mind, but your services are totally free.
Absolutely.
Right? There is no cost.
And there's also no income limit for our services. So where some other programs may not be able to help someone if they have a higher income, we don't have that restriction. We're serving all victims of crime.
So I think the term elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation is so broad that people kind of sometimes zone out when they hear that term, because they don't understand that they may, in fact, have just been a victim of elder fraud and abuse. They can't really define it. So what are the signs of elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation? And what kind of, how does it manifest itself?
So there's a couple different ways to think about that. One is you looking at yourself and your own situation. So things that you might see if you've been going through fraud or identity theft that you weren't aware of might be something like an unrecognized charge on your bank account when you get your bank statement and you see, there's a charge for 50 cents. I don't remember making that purchase. That may be a scammer trying to get into your account, see if there's money there, and then they may return to withdraw additional money. Of course, it could be a bigger transaction as well. It may be something like getting a call or a letter from a debt collector saying you owe debt that you have never heard of. Maybe they say you had an account with Comcast, you owe $400. Well, you've never had Comcast in your life, so why would you be getting that? Maybe the result of identity theft or fraud. You may also, in looking at other people, be noticing that someone's income and assets should be able to cover their expenses, but maybe for some reason they're no longer able to pay their rent, or they've gotten their utilities cut off, their lights are out. Something is happening, that money is going somewhere else. If they've always been able to manage their finances and suddenly they're not, that's a big red flag that maybe that money is going elsewhere to a scammer or to an exploiting family member, something of that sort.
That's really interesting because you know, I think that a lot of people, when they hear elder fraud abuse, they think, grandma, I've been arrested. I'm in Mexico. Send me $5,000. I can't reach mom. And that's one. Or the Jamaican lottery scam. First of all, people, you know, think nobody falls for those things. People fall for those all the time. I've seen some tragic stories of those kinds of abuses that have cost people just enormous sums of money. But elder fraud and abuse and scams are typically much more subtle and much more easier to fall into than those. And even though those can be easy to fall into, particularly if you have some cognitive impairment along the way, you pointed to suddenly they have bad health problem. Are there other early warning signs? I think of one that I know of that comes to mind for me is if somebody becomes increasingly isolated, right?
Absolutely.
That means if you used to be able to go see your friend and now there's somebody in there preventing that from happening, right? Those are kind of early warning signs. Are there others that we haven't talked about that we should give everybody kind of a wake-up call?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, isolation is a huge one. Exploiters want to isolate the person from others that may be able to step in and help. So if you see someone whose relationships with friends and family members are suddenly suffering, that's a big red flag. If they've always been close with their children or their siblings, and all of a sudden they don't want to talk to anyone or they're angry with everyone in their family for interfering, maybe a sign that an exploiter is trying to separate them from those relationships. Sort of similar to how in Africa you would see a cheetah kind of cutting the gazelle out of the herd, making them isolated so that they're easier prey and easier target, very similar to what human exploiters would do.
That's a great example. I've actually been on safari and seen that real life. It's really interesting. That's a great example. I'm going to have to use that. Scammers aren't always, they don't always look like we think they're going to look, right? I mean, they come in all shapes and sizes, right? And some of them can be pretty familiar to us.
Yeah, so the National Center on Elder Abuse actually did a study where they found that up to 90% of people who are the exploiters are close friends, close family members, like an adult child or a spouse. So it's almost always someone very close to you if it's a financial exploitation case. Of course, with scams, it's a different story. Those are strangers calling hundreds and thousands of people a day. But with exploitation, it's very often the people that we should be able to trust who are the ones that are harming us.
Right. Did you say you get 5,500 cases a year?
Yeah, we do.
Wow, that's an amazing number. I mean, I knew that number. I'm saying that for the audience. I mean, I did know that, but and those are only the ones that are reported. They're probably a lot more. So the Area Agency on Aging, the Aging and Disability Resource Center, typically deals with people that are over the age of 60 or are disabled. The reality is that seniors are the most common mark in elder being optimum, but in fraud and exploitation. Why do we think that's true? Why are people my age so susceptible to this?
Well, I think the biggest reason is that scammers know that someone over 60 is a good financial target. So they're looking at someone who likely has saved some money over their lifetime. They may have a nest egg that the scammer could go after. They also typically will have a steady income. So whether it's a Social Security check or some type of retirement income, they're going to have more likely income than someone perhaps who's 19, is just starting to work, probably taking out student loans,
right,
and may not have as much to go after. So that's a big reason why scammers target older folks, is because they know those people are going to have more money than younger people. There's also a perception that older people may be more likely to talk to strangers, maybe because when they were young, they were taught that it's okay, you know, you should get along with your neighbors, don't be rude. And I think it's also the case that a lot of people move down here to Florida, retiring, they're leaving behind friends and family, so they may be more isolated than people in other states. And so when people come here and don't have anyone close to them all of a sudden for the first time in their lives, they may be more open to talking to a friendly stranger on the phone than someone who is, you know, surrounded by friends and family all the time.
But it wouldn't be your advice to talk to no one, right? We're going to give tips and tools as the show unfolds. So this isn't about scaring the hell out of everybody who's listening,
right?
Although we do want people to pay attention. So there is an area where we have to balance the need to talk and interface and meet new people and kind of feeling that things are not the way they appear to be. Am I right?
Absolutely. The best protection, I think, against, you know, experiencing fraud, scams, identity theft is talking to others. So you're sharing tips, you're socializing, you have people to bounce ideas off of. Does this sound right to you? Have you gotten this call before? And combating isolation is actually one of the biggest ways to prevent yourself from going through something like this, is having those people in your life that you can talk to, whether it's a social group, church group, friends and family, whatever it is for you, those people that you trust, that you can speak with and share the information so that you can, as a community, protect yourselves.
That's great advice. I want to talk about what the most common scams are, but that would take the whole show right there. So we'll go to what the most common scams are. But are there some fundamental basic tips that the audience should be adhering to or should know about in order to prevent themselves from becoming victimized?
I would say the three biggest red flags for a scam are, number one, if someone calls or emails you and tells you to either wire money, send a gift card, or send cash. The IRS is not going to ask you to pay your tax debt with a gift card. And so that's a big way that people can weed out some of those scam calls, is by knowing scammers love those methods of payment because they're nearly untraceable. You can send money and it can be very hard for the authorities to find out where that money went. It's also very fast. If you give someone the numbers off a gift card, they can drain that card, spend the money, and be gone within 5 minutes. So they're really, really good ways for scammers, but bad ways for us to send money. So that's a big red flag there. Also, if someone is on the call trying to instill a sense of urgency, they're saying, you need to act now or else you're not going to get this lottery winning, or you need to act now or else we're going to put your loved one in jail. If there's some sense of urgency like that, it's very important to take a step back, because the scammers are always trying to put you off balance emotionally. They want you to feel either excited, I won something, or terrified, I'm going to be put in jail, my loved one is going to suffer an injury. So they're trying to put you off balance emotionally, and that's why scams are so effective as well. Scammers are hiring, truly, they are hiring human psychologists on their teams to try to figure out the best way to get into someone's mind and to make them believe that what they're telling them is true. So these are very sophisticated scammers. They're working very hard to trick us and to get us off balance so that we may make a decision we might not make if we're thinking straight. And these scams do happen to people who are very educated, very well connected in the community, very intelligent. It's not that this only happens to a certain type of person. They're able to target and trap anyone if they catch you at the right moment.
I think that's a great misnomer about abuse and exploitation, is they think it only happens to people who are not that bright. We're going to talk more about that. I would remind everybody, though, the name Madoff. And we'll come back and talk about that. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you're a regular listener, we're thrilled that you're with us. If you're a new listener, I'm equally thrilled that you're with us. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We talk about that each week, Monday night from 6 to 7 o'clock. Tonight, we happen to be talking about a show that I feel extremely passionate about. Elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation. It is epidemic in our society. It's epidemic in the world in which I travel. The person sitting across from me tonight, Kate Kramer, is an expert in helping people navigate the waters if they've been victimized. More importantly, she can help you prevent yourself from being victims. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the scams you should look out for, some of the ridiculous ones, some of the ones that seem like they might be really serious. And we have a whole host more to talk about. If you have questions for Kate or for myself, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact health care challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition, and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. And if you're getting older or your mom is getting older, you or she is more susceptible to being victimized by some kind of scam, elder fraud, abuse, or exploitation. It takes the many different forms. My guest tonight, Kate Kramer from the Area Agency on Aging's Elder Rights Center, is here. This is a most important show. This may be one of the most important shows I do each and every year, because so many people are impacted by some of these scams. And Kate heads up the Elder Rights section that deals with this for the Area Agency on Aging and the Aging and Disability Resource Center. Kate, we know some of the more, well-known scams, but what are some of the other common scams that maybe we don't know that much about?
So one that is common, but that I want to mention because it comes across our desk so many times when we're reading through police reports, is the IRS scam or the Social Security scam, both of which try to put you in a position where you are supposedly receiving a call from a person of authority. So it may be, this is the IRS, you have an unpaid tax debt, or we're going to put you in jail, or we're going to levy some very large fines. If you don't want this to happen, you need to either buy a gift card, give us your personal information, take any of these steps so that the scammers can get the information that they want from you. And I think that authority figure scam is important because so many of us are taught to respect authority and to answer when someone like that asks us a question. And so it's very important to, when you get one of those calls, rather than, you know, automatically answering and giving that information, to take just one moment and think about it and hang up the phone. If that is truly the IRS or if that is truly Social Security, they're very likely not going to be calling you. They're going to be sending you a letter in the mail that you will get. So if you think that it is them, even if they sound very, very impressive and reliable, it's important to hang up and call the number that you know. So calling Social Security with the number that you know, calling the IRS with the number that you know to verify if that was a legitimate call. And I guarantee you, if it was a legitimate call, they're going to be happy that you hung up on them because they know that people are using their name to scam people in our community all the time.
Along those same lines, somebody just told me the other day that they got a call. In theory, they got a call from Apple that there was a problem with their iCloud account, which was interesting because they weren't Apple customers. So it doesn't have to be just the IRS. Is it fair to say, and maybe it's not fair to say, if somebody calls you, hang up and call back the number you know, because nobody's calling you for these things. Am I right?
Absolutely. It's always best to hang up or don't answer in the first place, which is really tip number one. If you see a number come up on your cell phone or your home phone that you don't know, don't answer, because they'll either leave a voice message if they are a legitimate business. They may also leave a voice message if they're not a legitimate business, but that's another story.
That's another story, right?
But most likely, if they're a scammer, they're probably not going to be leaving you a voicemail. And if they are a legitimate business, you want to call them back at a number that you know. So if it's your bank, you want to call back the number that's on your bank card in your wallet. You don't want to call the number that someone might leave in a voicemail saying that they're your bank and that there's been fraud on your account and they need to verify your personal information. You want to call the bank back at a number that you know, rather than letting that scammer give you the number they want you to call.
That's a really good piece of advice. I had a credit card number stolen before I got the credit card. These guys are good.
They're getting pretty good.
These guys are good, right? I was getting a new credit card in the mail because it had been... It had been compromised, and American Express was sending me a new credit card. And before I actually received the new credit card, American Express called to verify if I had charged something on the new credit card. I couldn't believe that they could have gotten it. So these guys are really good. So you really have to be on your toes. I mean, that was kind of funny to me, but you got to be on your toes, right? You know, even in, I didn't tell you this before, but even in our office, we're part of a franchise, and we got from the corporate headquarters today, we got a notice that there was somebody that was scamming us, had broken into our email system, and wow, that's it. So another example of a common scam beside the IRS, what might that be?
So the tech support scam that you mentioned is also very common, where you get a call either from Apple or Microsoft, and they're calling either saying that you got a virus, or maybe you get a pop-up on your computer, a little window pops up saying you have a virus, call this number to have it removed. And what they want is they want to be able to access your computer. So if you grant someone remote access, then they can go through your computer, look for the bank statements that you might have saved in your computer, look through, try to find your passwords. And so once they have that access, they also may be able to lock up your computer and use what's called ransomware, which is a piece of software that goes into your computer and locks it up, and only the person who locked it can unlock it typically. So you're going to either pay the money or lose all of your files. So if someone calls you and says they're from Microsoft or from Apple, again, best practice, hang up that phone and call the number that you know.
That's amazing. And the ransom, I think 60 Minutes just did a story on ransomware a couple of weeks ago. Am I right? I think they did. I want to ask you about phishing scams, but as soon as we come back, because I think that's a place where you can get caught pretty easily. Even somebody really paying attention can get caught on the email phishing scams. And I don't mean phishing like catching bass, friends. I'm talking about phishing. If you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, here tonight with Kate Kramer. Kate is the project director of the Elder Rights Center of the Area Agency on Aging, both in Palm Beach and the Treasure Coast, which is a good thing, because if you're listening on 106.9, you're on the Treasure Coast, and if you're listening on 95.9, you're here in Palm Beach. We're talking about elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation. We're talking about what you should do if you are a victim, and more importantly, how you can prevent yourself from becoming a victim. We're going to talk about more of the common schemes. We're going to talk about the new DNA testing. We have a whole host of things to continue to talk about. But if you have questions and you want to ask that, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Here tonight with Kate Kramer. Kate is the project director for the Elder Rights Center at the Area Agency on Aging on both Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. We're talking about elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation. We're talking about how to prevent yourself from being victimized and what to do if, in fact, you are. During the break, Kate was telling me about a new scam that is becoming quite prevalent, and frankly, it's a little terrifying. So maybe we can tell everybody what, you know, that credit card scam you were just telling me about.
Sure. So this is a scam where people all over Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast have been getting this call saying, this is your bank. Of course, it's a scammer, but this is your bank. We found fraud on your account. We need to come pick up your bank card at your house in order to dispose of it, and then we'll get you a new one. And then what happens if the person says, okay, come on over, 20 minutes later, someone shows up at that person's address, collects the card, and then, you know, go on a spending spree wherever they want. But what's frightening to me about this particular scam is that these people are showing up at our houses and they're knowing a lot about us. They know where we live, what we look like. And so it's a frightening scam because of that more personal contact than what scammers normally get with someone.
That is really terrifying when you think about all the implications that you just described. I'd have to think, particularly if I'm an 80-year-old woman by myself, I open the door to somebody because I'm expecting them. So, and we trust them. Wow, wow. There's a couple of other new scams that people need to be paying attention to. But what might those be?
So we've heard.
As if I'm not scared enough already.
Let me terrify you some more, Scott. So we've heard of a couple that are related actually to Medicare or Medicaid, where someone either gets a package in the mail or a phone call or an email offering either free DNA testing or requesting that someone provide their fingerprints because Medicare wants them. For what reason, I don't know. But you'll get either the DNA test or the fingerprint kit. And if you do, you know, fill out your personal information and send that back, it's not going back to Medicare or Medicaid. It's going to the scammers who are collecting that personal information. In addition, if they actually do send it along to Medicare, which sometimes happens as well, where people are getting charged for these DNA kits by an unscrupulous doctor or someone else, and then they get sent to Medicare. Medicare does not cover that, despite what the scammer may tell you. And so you may be paying a big bill for something that you didn't even want in the first place. It just got sent to your house. So that's a big scam that we're seeing people going through, especially in the last several months.
I think I saw somewhere on the news about Fort Lauderdale where somebody was at one of the health fairs and somebody was taking a DNA swab from your cheek and they were going to send it off to Medicare, and suddenly there were $30,000 of Medicare charges authorized by a physician in Michigan, and the number from this health fair or a couple of days of health fairs was like 2,300 people. It was astronomical. You think about all the money that they're making. Can you be held liable for any of these expenses on all of these things?
Well, it sounds really appealing. You have to admit, get a free DNA test. We'll screen you for some type of disease. We'll screen you for cancer likelihood. We'll see what's in your DNA. And so people are very likely to do it if they're offered this. And yes, they do get billed by Medicare because they submitted an expense that they, authorized unknowingly.
Boy, that is terrifying. Another kind of easy place for people to get trapped, we all get these unsuspecting emails or unrequested emails from companies, and sometimes you'll get it from Wells Fargo and you're a Citibank guy, so you know it's not true. But sometimes you get it from Citibank and you're a Citibank person, and so you instantly think it's true, and you click on, and once you do that, you can be in big trouble. Am I right?
Right. We see a lot of these phishing scams, and it may not be just the banks. It may be this is PayPal, this is Amazon.com. These scammers are trying to impersonate the big names so that you feel that respect for authority again. You want to comply with whatever they're asking. A lot of time they say there's been a transaction that we think is fraudulent, or they say we're updating something, we need to verify your personal information. And those phishing emails can be very tricky because they can appear to come from an email address that says support@amazon.com, or they may contain a link that looks like amazon.com until you hover over it and see that, in fact, it may go somewhere slightly different, maybe one letter off, maybe adding a number in there. But the phishing attempts are very, very tricky. So it's important that if you don't think even if you think it might be real, honestly, you want to look at that very carefully, look where it's coming from, look where it's going to, and you want to contact the company with a secure method rather than clicking on that link or opening any attachments that they might have sent to you.
You said something that's really critically important, and that's hover over the link. I don't think most people understand that you can do that. You can just hover over it, and more often than not, you realize that it is not who they say it is, right? And so that's a telltale sign. Wow. I mean, there's lots of ways to be fooled. I think it's important, again, you said it before, I said it kind of tongue-in-cheek, this is not just a problem for a particular type of person. Anybody is a potential victim. I mean, we talked about Bernie Madoff. When something sounds too good to be true, it is in fact too good to be true. And without putting words in your mouth, your advice would be, I'm sure, hang up the phone, turn off your computer, pick up the phone, call back, call a number that you trust, or email an email address that you trust, and verify. If it was true, they'll tell you, and then you feel more safe about it. But never give out any information to somebody who calls you. Is that reasonable?
Right, or to someone who emails you asking for your personal information or financial information.
Yeah, it is so easy. If you're just tuning in, this is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Kate Kramer. Kate is the project director for the Elder Rights Center. And I would say Elder Rights Center of Excellence. You are kind, you didn't say that, but it's the Elder Rights Center of Excellence at the Area Agency on Aging. They handle over 5,500 complaints a year or cases a year of elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation. Again, it doesn't always come from where you think. We're going to talk about how family can be that, how neighbors can be that, how trusted friends or new friends can be there. Seniors are very susceptible and very open to being taken advantage of. If you have questions or comments for my guest, for Kate, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact health care challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can
give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620. Or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody, here tonight with Kate Kramer. Kate is the Project Director for the Elder Rights Center of Excellence at the Area Agency on Aging. She specializes in elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation, both helping victims and hopefully preventing you from becoming a victim. And we've been talking tonight about a whole host of things, including some of the new scams that are out there, and some of them are pretty scary. One thing we haven't spent a whole lot of time on is that most perpetrators are not, I know we said it earlier, but we didn't really drill down on it. Most perpetrators are not necessarily who you think they are. Perpetrators can be family, and in fact, more often than not, our family. Most significant exploitation and abuse does come from family, which makes it that much harder for a senior to report or to do anything. So I know there's no easy answer for this, but the senior should come clean. But there are other people also who can help. So how do we talk about this without making everybody crazy?
Well, it is true that in most cases of exploitation or financial, when someone's taking advantage of someone else and it's not a scam by a stranger, it's typically a family member, and in fact, a very close family member, a spouse or an adult child. So the best thing, if you are concerned about someone else, you're seeing that someone is always speaking for that older person, or that person is no longer coming to their social activities, no longer going to church, is isolated, whatever it is that they used to love to do, and you see that maybe they're only interacting all of a sudden with one child and they've broken off relationships with the others, that's a big sign that it may be time to gently speak with that person. Just try to talk to them, be a good listener, maybe ask some questions, what's going on, how are you doing, and see if you might be able to find some information that either you would be able to report or just be able to dig a little deeper and reconnect with that person to see what might be going on in their life.
I think most people don't understand that everybody is a mandated reporter. If you see something, you have to say something.
Absolutely. And
you can report confidentially. There's a misunderstanding about this. It's not anonymously. It is confidentially. Which, for your sake is pretty much the same, right? But you can call 1-800-96-ABUSE, and that gets the ball rolling, right? DCF has to come out within 24 hours if you report something, am I right?
Well, I always think of it as you're giving your piece of the puzzle as well, because people think, oh, I have to know for sure that someone is going through abuse in order to call and to make that report. But in fact, it's if you suspect you are a mandated reporter. So you're giving the DCF or the authorities, if you're calling the police, your piece of the puzzle. You're telling them what you've observed, what your concerns might be, what you have seen of the situation. And then they're going to go out, as you said, investigate. They're going to talk to that person. They're going to find out if that person may have some diminished capacity. Maybe they need some other assistance to be put in place. They're going to find out what that person's situation is and what services need to be put in place, and they're going to try to help that person as best they can. I like to think of it as when you're calling the police, it's because probably someone needs to go to jail, and when you're calling DCF, it's because probably someone needs help. So you may call both if there's financial exploitation, or you may just call the police if it's a scammer, you know, from some other country it's a crime rather than someone in a position of trust or relationship taking advantage and abusing, neglecting, or exploiting.
And there are the signs that you pointed to, increased isolation, one child taking over, particularly being prevented from getting engaged. But there are other telltale signs, a kid showing up in a brand new Corvette who has never worked, right, or big, large screen TV being delivered to a kid's bedroom. Those are kinds of things that are out there. But yes, if you suspect something, say something. There is no harm in being wrong. In fact, it would be better if you were wrong. But if you're right, just think about the good that you can do. So with that in mind, I gave the 896 abuse number already, but what should somebody do? Should they call the police? Should they call you? Should they? What determines what and when?
Well, you can always call us, and we can tell you who else you need to call.
And how do they call you?
So you can call us. Our phone number is 561-684-5885, and that's actually our main line, which will not only connect you to us in the Elder Rights Center who help victims of crime, but we'll also connect you to other services we have, like our helpline, which can assist with all kinds of different supports and services for people, like long-term care, help with chores in the home, maybe able to help with utility assistance or helping you apply for some type of government benefit that you might be eligible for. So in calling that number, you're going to get to a whole host of services. And if you have a question or a need related to aging, we're a good place to call, because if we don't do it, we probably know who does and can give you the right person to talk to.
And if they call you and it's appropriate for the police to be brought in, if it hasn't come to you from the police, because sometimes it does come to you from them, do you call the police? Do you advise them to call the police? Do you do it together? How is the process? Do you hold their hand working? Because, you know, I've always found that people who are victims are more likely to be embarrassed and be afraid to talk about it. They feel, one, they've been ripped off, and then, two, they're embarrassed that they've been ripped off. They can't believe they were so stupid. And they weren't stupid. They just got taken advantage of, right?
Right. Well, it depends on the situation. So a lot of the times we will say, you know, do you want us to call with you? Do you want us to help you explain the situation to the best of your ability? And so we do make those calls with someone to Adult Protective Services as a three-way call or to the police as a three-way call. Some people want to take an hour to collect their thoughts, collect their notes, and make the call themselves. It just depends on what that person is comfortable with.
Do you get anonymous calls? Do they come to you instead of going to other agencies?
Sometimes we do. Most of our callers are more comfortable giving some of their information to us, at least, although we do caution them. Even when we call offering crime victim services, we tell them, don't answer the phone to other people who call you without you calling them. So, sort
when
of
I call you, don't answer.
Rock in a hard place. But
that's funny.
But a lot of times what we do find is that people are listening to this advice, which is great. And so they're ignoring our call, which I think is good if they're right. Being cautious. And then sometimes when we send them a letter to follow up, they'll be the ones to call us back. And maybe they do some internet research and find out more about us.
Yeah. I don't think people understand just how valuable a resource you really are, and the quality of work that you do. Most people are they do feel helpless, and they feel hopeless, and they don't know where to turn. And so, if you feel like you've been a victim of elder fraud, abuse, and/or exploitation, get a pencil, because in a minute we're going to tell you how you can reach my guest tonight, who is, of course, Kate Kramer, who is the project director of the Area Agencies on Aging Elder Rights Section. If you missed the beginning of the show and you tune in late and you're sorry you did, because there's information there that you should have, I have really, really good news for you. You can still listen to it because we podcast the show. Yes, we do. Just search for OMG, I'm Getting Up, We Will Pop. You can actually subscribe to that so that you could get it automatically every week. If you're not a podcaster, and I can understand that because I myself am not, we'd put it up on my website, my corporate website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfort Care, ComfortCare, as hard as you want. Don't put a T in there. You will not get to us. It's not Comfort Care. It's ComfortCare.com. If you don't have a radio, and many don't, you do have a smartphone. I know you do, because you're all pretty smart people. There's an app so that you can listen to us wherever you are. It's TuneIn Radio. It's available on all of the platforms. just download the free app, put a reminder on there for 6 o'clock, WSVU are our call letters, and you can listen to us every Monday. And, of course, we simulcast, so you can listen on the web, www.trueoldiesfla.com. Locally, around the country, and around the world. Next week, I'm going to be talking to a peer of my guest tonight, Kate Kramer, here tonight. Next week, Desiree Mern. She heads up the SHINE program. We are rapidly approaching open enrollment. Open enrollment is one of the most important periods of time for seniors, particularly if you're thinking about changing your Medicare provider designations. There's a whole host of new things every year. There's a whole host of new information. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And trust me when I tell you, Desiree's been on for the last 3 or 4 years, and that is because this topic is so very, very important. So I encourage you to do that. I know next week is Rosh Hashanah. It's the second night, but we'll be here, and I hope that you will, too. In 2 weeks, author Dr. Roger Landry is going to be here with Rachel Blumberg. He wrote a book called Live Long, Die Short. Very interesting book, a subject matter that I encourage you to pay attention to. And for those who do celebrate, I want to wish everybody a good Yontif, a Happy New Year. Rosh Hashanah starts on Sunday night. I hope that you have a great holiday. We'll be here Monday night, but if you celebrate both nights, we'll put the show up for you in another way that you can retrieve it. But if not, tune in, all right, because we'll be here next Monday night. Anyway, in the few minutes I have left with my guest, Kate Kramer, Kate, is there one most important piece of advice that you might give? And then two, how do people reach you?
Yeah. So my most important piece of advice that I've said before, and I'll say it 100,000 times until everyone knows it, is if you get a call or you get an email, do not give out any personal information unless you made that contact to a number you know. So if your bank says they're calling you to tell you about fraud, hang up and call the number on your bank card. Call the number that you know. And if someone's trying to rush you, make sure you think twice, take your time, and really think about hanging up that phone, because the best thing to do is never to answer in the first place if it's a number you don't know. The second best thing is to hang up. Even if it sounds very legitimate, hang up and call the number that you know.
It's safe to assume, or safe to remind everybody, nobody is on their way to arrest you. Not from the IRS, not from Social Security, not from FPL, not from Apple, not from anywhere. No one is coming to arrest you unless you've committed a crime. But nobody's coming to arrest you if you haven't paid a bill. And it is always better to hang up. I think it's also fair, I mean, you didn't say this, but I know that you would. If somebody has your mother's maiden name, the last four digits of your Social Security, and your date of birth, there's no telling what they can do. So you have to guard your personal information just so carefully. Am I right?
Yeah, it's essential to be cautious about who you're giving personal information and financial information to, and to be sure that you make that call to a legitimate number that you know if you're going to be giving out any of that information.
And if you suspect that either you have been a victim or you know somebody may be victimized, what should they do? How do they reach you?
So you can call us, and we will tell you as well whether you might need to call Adult Protective Services or the police department or another agency to report what's going on. But our number is 561-684-5885. And if you do suspect that someone is going through abuse, neglect, or exploitation, it's very important to also call Adult Protective Services at 1-800-96-ABUSE.
Do you have a website?
We do.
I should know that since I'm on the advisory council. But what is the website?
So we're at www.youradrc.org. So that's youradrc.org.
Right, and that is for Aging and Disability Resource Center. We are more than just the area agency on aging any longer. You've been a great guest. I can't thank you enough for being here. You have a wealth of information. I really do wish I had more time. I hope I can talk you into coming back someday. And I really do thank you so much for being here. If you are a regular listener, you know that I am Scott Greenberg, and this is Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom. If you're a new listener, I'm still the same person. If you tuned in to listen to Ira on sports, I'll be done soon, and he'll be here. So hang in there. But anyway, we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. It runs the gamut. Next week, we're going to talk about open enrollment with Desiree Mearns from the SHINE program, Serving the Health Insurance Needs of Elders. It's a most important show. I want to wish everybody again a happy and a healthy New Year if you celebrate. We'll see you next week. Oh my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom.